And welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find the answer to the question, what are spiritual gifts? Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities for this coming week and next Sunday. And there is an additional insert in your bulletin, which we'd like to draw your attention to. We have been privileged to support financially and in prayer Dr. Dante Rabinas, missionary from Iquitos, Peru, bringing the gospel along with medical attention to those living along the Amazon River. We are pleased Dr. Rabinas is with us today and will be speaking at our 5 o'clock service this afternoon. The youth group camping trip will be Thursday, July 12th, through Saturday at Groveland near Yosemite. And please see Pastor Tomlinson for details. A scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 22, verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him, all ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him, and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name. Now with hymn number 477, At Calvary. Now, as we sing hymn number 454, What a Wonderful Savior.
Mm-hmm. remain standing for prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of the one that we're going to talk this morning, our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful that after 2,000 years of his death and resurrection, we can talk about him as the one who offered himself to us so that we may have peace with God and life eternal. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we still have the liberty to open the doors, the liberty to open the airways of radio and the airways of internet to proclaim the praises to his name and to proclaim the message of the gospel of the Bible. Lord, as a church body, we pray for those who are in our church and they are ill. We pray for Loretta Forrest, for Mary and Jacques West in Costa Rica. We pray for Ann Pareto, for my wife Raquel, for Mildred, for Rebecca Torp, for Donald McNowell, for Dr. McCormack. Lord, they need your touch. They need that wonderful peace that comes from you and the recovery in their bodies. Lord, we pray for Jack and Mary as they vacation in Lake Tahoe, that they be protected and they may enjoy. Jack has been a right shoulder to me in the work of the ministry and has been a blessing to our church and the finances and in the outgoing of the ministry. And we pray that he will come refreshed. And Lord, we are thankful for the building committee. We are thankful for the negotiating committee of our church who is working hard to get the new facilities to come to a conclusion so that we can start looking into the project and looking into the building. And we pray, Lord, that you may guide every step of the way. We will not do anything that is not led by you because it is not our new building, it is your new building. And then, Father, we are glad that we have missionaries, Fred and Carol Lewis, now in Los Angeles. We will see him next week. Carol and Ruth Knott, there in Seville, Spain. And we will see him at the wonderful festivities of our anniversary. Eusebio and Marisa Perez, we just had him. And what a blessing he was to us. And I know he's in Spain. David and Denise Rose, Giovanni and Barbara Vendano, Marta Peretti in Argentina, Dante Maruja Rabin is with us, and we look forward to listen to our doctor and see what the Lord is doing there in the Amazon River. To Jose and Diane Avila, the South Valley in Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, Danny today in Canada. So Father, not only we proclaim the gospel and proclaim your message here and radio, television, CD, tape ministry. We also have the extension of our church and the life of these people. And we pray that we may take care of them and that we may pray constantly for them as they ministry on their respective gifts and in their countries. Lord, put your hand of mercy of many who listen that they may know you. And they really may believe in you. Because after all, the house may go, the car may go, the curtains may go, a life may go to hell unless you intervene in a life. And so we pray for mercy that you will intervene in the life of people today. Lord, we thank you for the overwhelming provision of your people for this church. And Lord, we thank you for some people in the East Coast who have provided for us also. And we thank you for those who listen and send their offering. Thank you, Lord, for their generosity and for their love for the church. And so, Father, we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, amen. Thank you.
Choir, will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Philippians. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1280. We will be reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again and always for your word. We thank you that through the scriptures and the work of the Holy Spirit, we are drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that through the gift of faith that we know with certainty that Jesus is Lord and has raised himself from the dead. We bless you and thank you that you have not left us ignorant, but have shown us the truth of who you are and who we are, and by your grace and mercy have called us your people. We commit our trust and our lives to you, for you have the words of life. We love you, Father, and thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to live and die and live again on our behalf. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to bring the saving truths from the Scriptures. Give us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, give us understanding. And help us to practice those things we learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
And before we look upon the scripture this morning on a new series, the I May Know Him, in our service today, which is very crowded, and I want to tell you, there is a release room there, and 2 years from now, you will be seated in a larger auditorium, God's willing. But there are two servicemen who are here this morning. I want you, Ryan, to stand, and your man, will you stand, please? And we're going to pray for you as the Lord will use you in defense of our country. Let's pray together. Father, we have two young men who are able to stand firm for our country. And so we pray with Moses, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and protect you and give you peace. In Jesus we pray, amen. God bless you. Let's give a hand to this one. I want you today start a series or three sermons on one particular word. If you look in your Bible to Luke Gospel in chapter 3, starting in verse 7, and Philippians chapter 3, in verse 7, I'm trying to confuse you, see if you are okay. Philippians chapter 3, in verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, who wrote those words can credit himself on these words. But what things were gain to me? We're talking about a professor of philosophy, a man who spoke three or four languages, a great leader coming out of Tarsus. And now he made this clear statement, what things were really precious to me, my diploma, my prestige, my robe with all the colors. Look at what he says. Those I counted loss for Christ. Then he says in verse 8, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And I want to have three sermons on the next sentence in verse 10. He said, that I may know him. Actually, it's an infinitive verb. It is a verb in the present tense, which will imply a super translation. That I may keep on experiencing him. You know, there are three verbs to describe to know in the Greek language. One, describe oida, your mental knowledge. Two plus two is four. And you know that. I asked, when I start teaching in America, I asked my first grade class, why? And I wrote on the board, two plus two, three. And it was wrong. No, why? Who told you it's four? And so you get to know in your mind. When you grow up a little bit, and somebody, you're going to Starbucks and said this, and coffee, and they said $4. Then you said one, two, three. Now you experience the four, little number four, all right? You got four by experience. That's the word used here. A word that claim in your life the experience of Christ. It's not just that you know mentally Christ and you have a full knowledge of the Bible and a full knowledge of your doctrine and you are by excellency well in all the things that you have been taught, but now you need to walk in your life, and now you walk as Christ walked, said 1 John 2:6. The one who claimed that knows him must walk as he walked. Now you walk as Christ walked. Now that is experiencing him. So, in all the things I can go into the Bible, I thought that the most important thing for me to share first is that you need to know him as a mediator. As a mediator. Alright? And so I would like to really show three things to you. First, the need of a mediator. The need of a counselor. Then, the source. Where do we get it? It's Pastor Carol. It's the Apostle Peter. It's the Church of God. And then, how do I make that mediator mine? How much will it cost per hour? All right? So let's work through the scripture. That I may know him. That I may know Jesus Christ as mediator. All right? Now, why do I need a mediator? Why I need a mediator with God? First, I'm going to give you two remarkable scriptures. And then, I'm going to go through the scripture, long list of the scripture, to show you why. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 59, page 813. Isaiah 59, verse 2. If you are using the Bible that is in the pew, it's page 813. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, the Bible says, in the King James Version, Isaiah chapter 59, and verse 2, but your iniquities has separated between you and your God. Now, iniquities is not a word that you use too often. Is that right? Oh, my iniquities. But the word iniquities is, you know like that these perfumes were Avon? When you say Avon in English, you are saying in Hebrew iniquities. So I like Avon, or I like iniquities, alright? It's funny, when I look into the word, and I say, what a funny thing to do. Alright. Now, the word really there in the scripture means plain depravity. Plain depravity. Your depravity has separated you and God. Now I want to give you another information in the Bible. Go to the end of your Bible, to the book of Revelation, in chapter 21. Somebody asked me the other day in the coffee shop, who can go to heaven? That's a great question, you know. Who can go to heaven? That's a fantastic question. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, the very last book of the Bible. And look what the Bible says. God is speaking about his kingdom, and look at what he says. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defile, neither whatsoever work an abomination, or make it a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So to go into heaven, you cannot go with your or my depravities to heaven. The Bible said in Isaiah 59, and in verse 2, there are depravities that have separated me from God. And that depravity is still there afresh in front of me. And the day I die, my soul cannot enter into the rest in heaven because that depravity has separated me. And God said, no depravity will come into my place. What a place heaven will be. People think about gold and silver. I think about the oneness that we will have without any mind. My mind will not be tempted. My mind will not be corrupted. What a great place to be. Now you have the right to say, wait a minute, Pastor. You're talking about depravity. Well, why I'm a depraved man? You know, that's a very insulting word. Is that right? I want you to take it seriously. If I say you are a depraved person, well, I will jump and knock him down. All right? Why? Well, the Bible tells us about it. And I want you to follow me. We're going to go to the first book of the Bible. And we're going to find out our depravity. All right? We go to the book of the Bible in Genesis, chapter 3. And I keep on going from there to show you that when Isaiah writes and said that our depravity has separated me from God, Isaiah was right. Isaiah just wrote in a strike, a summary of what really the Bible says. Now we go to the Bible to see what that summary testifies. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Place a doubt in the heart of Eve. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Always, when you add to the scripture, you're going to end up wrong. You are weak. Don't add to the scripture. That's why I tremble when I read a commentary about the scripture. Because a commentary can be as close as possible, as Eve was, but could be awful wrong. Okay? Now let's look in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The serpent knew the woman was not strong and biblically right. So now the serpent can maneuver the woman in a place he wants. Verse 5. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. That's what mankind wants. That's your depravity. You want to be God. And it's very typical. I tell people about God. They say, in America, we are free. We do what we want to. Now, the concept is correct. In America, you have rights as people, which other countries do not have. But that doesn't have to do anything with God. All right? That's the consequence. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. No comment that he will reject it. No comment that the husband will be a strong man and will say, now look, this is wrong. I just had a meeting with God, and that's true in chapter 2, and God told me, I can do anything I want to. I can tumble the earth in the way I want it, but I cannot touch that tree. He never gave a word of indication. How powerful are women in marriage, okay? So be careful, all right? Young people, when you're married, be careful, because it's a real tough thing, all right? To say to your wife, it's very tough to say to your wife, you are wrong. You have to sleep with her the next night. So I understand that. And so you have to... who are you going to please? God or yourself or your wife or whatever? Look at what the scripture says. Now, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And mankind is still making aprons. There is no creation, they said. That's an apron. They don't want to deal with God. And so there is evolution, which proves nothing. And depart from nothing. But that's an apron that science put on. Some people say, I cannot believe in God. I'm a science person. That's an apron. An apron. So from that time on, aprons comes very handy in the life of people. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife run to God. No, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, come on, fellows. One chapter before, God and Adam were discussing how to plant. Adam named all the animals. He names all the stars. God gave Adam dominion about everything. God and Adam were buddies. And now God said to Adam, where are you? And Adam ran away. There is something wrong about it. Look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Boy, if the Lord would not call us, we would be like Adam, running away. I'm so glad that the Lord does the call. Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. You know the rest of the story? He said, God said, what you have done? And he said, my wife, talked to the wife, said, the serpent. And finally, Eve, watch out with when the women talk. Eve was very clever. She said, the serpent that you, God, gave us, created. So, blame actually back to God. Now, what happened is very important to me. Here is man created perfect. I mean perfect. Adam, Mr. Universe. Eve, Mrs. Universe. Well, it's true. You read chapter 2 when the Bible said when Adam saw Eve, he said, whoo, 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 bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Wow, I really like it. And now it's all ruined. And now it's all gone. Not only that. If you move your eyes to verse 22 and 23, I tell you what happened. This will explain Isaiah 59 too. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24. So he drove out the man and he placed the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. Remember what the Bible said? Your depravity has separated you from God. God said to Adam, goodbye. And there is no way to deal. See, the Bible said God is holy, and he wants you to be as holy. He will not talk to anybody who is not holy. And so he separated. And he put guards so that nobody have access by themselves to heaven. You got it? Isaiah, so clever. He said, your depravity has separated you from your God. You can have the best intentions of your life. You can write a check for $2 million to make our building. You can do anything you want to, and that will not give you access to heaven, because God had put the cherubims in charge to say, nothing of this world will touch my heaven. You are separated. Now, if you want to see this in the New Testament, you move your Bible to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, page 1227. Has been well discussed, this verse, in the class here in the afternoon by Pastor Thomason a few Sundays ago. Romans 5 and verse 12. Page 1227. Romans 5, verse 12. Look what the Bible says. And Paul makes a recapitulation of what happened in Genesis. And he says, wherefore, as by one man sin, that's the depravity. Sin is, if you're a shooter and you put your target, I was getting lessons from one guy who hunts, and you know they have these things that you look on it and they have all the marks, and the marks will not go anywhere. But they have one who has a red dot inside. And you're pushing the red dot like this until the red dot goes into whatever you want to shoot and makes the target. He said, you cannot miss the target. That's the word sin. You have missed the target. And so Romans said, wherefore, as by one man sin missed the target, enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for all have sinned. You got the idea? Every person born in the universe is born with that depravity of their soul. Depravity. Anyone. Iranians, Japanese, Argentinians, whatever is born into this world, Chinese, whatever, they have that seed of depravity within them. Now, Paul makes heavy statements about it. in chapter 3 of Romans, if you're in chapter 5, if you go to chapter 3 and in verse 10, he makes a very serious statement. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, not one. The word righteous, taken as a German word for justification, there is no one justified before God. No, no one. And if you go a little bit with your eyes to verse 23, there in Romans chapter 3, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here's my first point. We can say that we are sinners, not because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners by birth. That changed the whole panorama of salvation. We sin because we are sinners by birth. Mankind is mentally alert. Look at, remember Adam? You remember what we read. All right? God said, Adam, where are you? And what he does? He hides himself. As mentally alert. We are mentally alert. We are physically alive. Adam knew that he was in trouble, but is spiritually dead. We lost that connection with God. You raise a child without the knowledge of God, that child will never ask you for God by itself. There is no inside of us anything that will draw us closer to God. And so that means that by myself, by my own mind, will never qualify to have a relationship with God. I need help. I need a bridge again between me and God. The Bible calls that a mediator. And so, where do I get my mediator? And mankind, again, put an apron, remember that we read, and they have Buddha, and they have Hinduism, and they create all kinds of religions with things to do in order to reach God. Their intentions is good, but I tell you, the process is wrong. Remember, anything you do, you are depraved. Anything you contribute is going to be depraved. I was in Mexico City, and media is the worst thing to be. I escaped from media. I worked in the media for 29 years, but I escaped from media. And these big television stations invite a priest and myself to discuss. And I told the priest, whatever you want to tell me about the Catholic Church, tell me in private. And whatever I want to tell you about my belief in God, I will tell you in private. But these people want you and I to discuss so they can laugh about you and me. So let's listen carefully what they said. And I answer. And you touch me if you have a different agreement. Let's have these people really in trouble. And so I said, the son of an elephant is an elephant. And the reporter, and there says, any question? The son of a dog is a dog. And they would say, this guy, and they ask the priest, is that right? Is that right? He says, the son of a cat, which I hate cat, the son of a cat is a cat. He said, yeah, correct. And I go on and on. The son of an eagle is an eagle. The son of an eagle. And finally the reporter said, what do you want to say? I said, Lord, thank you. I said, I want to say that you are a sinner because you are a son of a sinner. Oh, yeah, my daddy was a drunkard. He said, no, don't talk about your daddy. Talk about your daddy's sin. Well, that's what he did. Well, he did because that's natural. Who knows if you're going to kill somebody? I said, you are depraved. You are son of a person who was depraved, so you are depraved. You see that? And people don't want to understand that, and they put aprons before them. Well, let's talk about the mediator. If I am disqualified by birth, and I'm born separated from God, where do I get my mediator from? All right? Could be Peter. Remember, the Catholic Church believed The vicar is the one who was anointed to be in place of Christ. Well, let's find out what Peter said. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, page 1323. Page 1323, 1 Peter chapter 5. And look what Peter said. Let's see if he said that he is a mediator between man and God. Look at what the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders, that was a group of pastors, the pastors which are among you, I exhort. And now look what he says about himself. Who am also an elder. He did not say, who I am the chief. Who I am the one in charge of all of you. Who I am the mediator of you. I'm in charge because I represent God. No, he said, I'm just a pastor like you. Today I'm addressing the elders and I'm a pastor with you. I sympathize with this every year, and this year I was invited again. This is the third year on the roll on the hills of Yosemite to speak. This year it is 750 pastors, and there's a big pastoral conference, and they come from all over California. And first words I said, that I address to you, pastor, who I'm also a pastor. So they don't see me about them, they see me with them. So Peter is not the mediator. Now turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, page 1292. Page 1292. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There the Bible tells us who is the mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. The word is men, and the King James is mankind, anthropos. Who is it? The man Christ Jesus. There is only one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Now I want you to go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, and I'm going to show you why he is the mediator and qualified. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, page 1305. 1305, Hebrews chapter 5. And I'm going to read in the book of Hebrews a lot. I want to show you in the book of Hebrews why he is the mediator. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Remember, that's the Levitical priesthood. A priest represents you before God, and you remember the Old Testament. A priest will take your offering, will offer to God on your behalf, and will be accepted. So it's making a recall of that. Verse 2 now in Hebrews chapter 5. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he out as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. Now, in the Old Testament, say the author of the book of Hebrews, he offered an offering on behalf of the people, but also he was unclean, and so he has to offer an offering for himself also. Now, look in verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but that he is called of God as was Aaron. 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. That's a quotation of Psalm 2, verse 2, where Jesus was decreed to be the Son of God. Now chapter 8 in the book of Hebrews, please. Now you get this story. No man qualify. But then the author of the book of Hebrews said that this Jesus was called of God. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which have spoken, this is the summary. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched at no man. So now the book of Hebrews said, I'm going to reveal to you who is the high priest. Now look at verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Verse 5, who serve unto the examples and shadow the heavenly thing, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mountain. Chapter 9, verse 1, please. And then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and worldly sanctuary. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holies of all, which had the golden center and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot and the manna and Aaron's rod, the budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of the glory shadowing then the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest also, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, and for the errors of the people. Now come the picture of the high priest. Verse 8. The Holy Ghost be signifying that the way into the holies of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was standing. In other words, the Old Testament, they have ceremonies, and they have all these ceremonies, but that were not final. That was a demonstration, a pictorial event, to show that something is coming better than this. To imitate in the Mass, for example, in the Catholic Church, to imitate that ceremony is ridiculous, because that was before Christ. That's what he's saying. Now look at here. Verse 9. Which was a figure, a picture for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinance imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Verse 11. Now comes the switching. But Christ, said the scripture, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and the goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is, look at what the scripture says in verse 15, he is the mediator of the New Testament. You can take the word testament away and use the old Hebrew word covenant. There are no three covenants, there are two covenants. The old covenant and the new covenant. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So God provides in the office of the high priest a way for me to see God and to breach my depravity with God. That high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other high priest. There is no other high priest. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm depraved, I'm totally separated, but not far away. The Lord Jesus Christ can bring me into the presence of God. I cannot do it myself, but he's willing to do it for me. So now, the $4 million question. How can I make Jesus Christ my high priest. Go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, page 1311. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Look what the Bible says. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Oh, you read that. And people have told me, you know, I love these Tuesdays or whatever days I encounter people in town to talk about it. I bring this impossibility. And then I read this possibility. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And one person said to me, how can I have faith when I'm totally depraved? What a great question. How can I have faith when I'm totally depraved? If I am a spiritual dead, how can faith be generated in me? If I am a corpse spiritually with respect to hearing the things of God, where do I find the energy to believe in the right mediator between me and between God? Well, God has made some moves. The first move is that God provides Now, look in the scripture, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, page 1232. Romans 10, verse 17, page 1232. God provides the source of faith. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, page 1232, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where do I find faith? I'm totally depraved. You're right. There is a source of faith. It's called the Word of God. No wonder Satan knows this and don't want any school to read the Bible. I was in sixth grade in my country. And in order to pass Castilian Spanish reading, I had to read the book of Revelation. I had no idea what I was reading. But I was doing the book of Revelation. Ortega, in Nicaragua, 1982. I walk in a school, and there is a New Testament in every pew. And I said to General Ortega, I said, Commander, this book is dangerous. It's going to change your people's life. No, this book is perfect Castilian, the old Spanish Bible, 1516. And I want them to learn perfectly. Well, I said, why don't you do it in the jail? The next day, the next year, I went to visit. He said, Pastor Kirk, there is a danger here. I offered the whole Bible in the jail, and look what the sign said. He has made us free. In every jail, he has made us free. And the guy, who is now totally depraved, doesn't know the things of God, so we have to put machine guns everywhere, because look, the Bible, now he's against the Bible, because the people have expressed it. That they were spiritually free. He said, He had made us free. And they don't know who the He was. I'm glad they don't thought I was. So God made a move. He provided the source. But now, I have the Bible, and a lot of people read the Bible, and nothing happened. How that faith that these books have goes into my heart. How I read the Bible, how come I can say one day, yeah, I see it. How can I do that? Go to John chapter 6, verse 29, page 1156. John chapter 6, verse 29, page 1156. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. You know those who study physics, the measure of unity in German? Of work is ergo, energy plus time plus distance. Remember that formula? Energy for time is ergo, ergo one, ergo over 1,000. You remember that? Okay. I'm sure you do. Okay. Here's what it is. That's the word ergo. Ergo, they copied from the Greek and they took it. And where do I get the energy? Where do I get the sparkle that I believe? What John 6:29 said? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the word of God, that ye believe who he has sent. So, here's my counsel to you. Do not worry how you're going to believe or when you're going to believe. That is not your responsibility, really. Your responsibility is to read this whole book, the Bible. Where do I start it? Well, it is the Bible, has energy everywhere. You like wars? Read Joshua. You like love? Read the Son of Solomon. You maybe get 3-4 girlfriends if you read that book. You like wisdom? You read Proverbs. You like science? You read Genesis. You know? You like law? You read Romans. You like the elites? You read Isaiah. And so on. You know, I have a name for each book of the Bible. When people say, what excites you? What movie excites you? Oh, wars. Oh, read Joshua. That's great. It's just fantastic. So you're reading. You're reading the Bible maybe with the wrong motivation. You're reading the Bible to prove there is no God. You're reading the Bible because you have no other thing to do. And you're reading the Bible and God is able to work in your heart faith. Happened to me. Happened to many of us here. Happened to many of us in the 80 range of our radio station. Happened to many people across the world. Kim, a young lady from Korea, wrote me a little short letter and said, now I believe. She's listening for 10 years to us. Now I believe. Isn't that fantastic? I never asked her to believe. Now I believe. And I have a lot of questions from a lot of people across the nations and across the world. But we got a mediator. Who is that mediator? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where do I get the information to check him out? In the Bible. You read it. Are you all you want? Kick your legs all you want. Keep on reading. Keep on reading. And one day, this beauty of the scripture will show you. And then you will say, how come I don't saw it before? It's because the Bible needs the word, the ergo of God, to trigger into your mind. You know, there are a lot of people who are tied with money. Have you met them? I met a few of them. Tied with money. I never asked them a penny for the church. I asked the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, we have a new project, and we have $2 million coming, and we have $1 million here and there, and we need to pay this. God, I know who has the money. I pray that you will release that money into the church. And every Sunday is coming 49,000, 50,000, every Sunday. You think they come like that? Just come because I believe in God. I believe with all my heart that in prayer we conquer the world. We are not defeated, my brother. We are not defeated. We can pray, and from the bottom of our life we can raise up anything. Be sure it's the will of God, not our ingenuity and our will. May God bless you, and may God trigger your heart and grace to read the scripture and find this mediator and have peace with God. So when you die, you see him eye to eye. Already preparing a book. When I die, I told my wife to put it on the box so that I can go to heaven with them. And I have questions for Peter, who writes very bad in Greek. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That in spite of ourselves, you love us. And you love us so much that you have provided this great mediator, the Lord Jesus, to bring us in unity to heaven. If nothing I can provide, if nothing that I can give, is just surrender my life. But I am so far away from God that surrender is a nasty word. I want to be myself. I want to enjoy my life in my own way. Oh God, work in those who believe not, and show them what Christ has done, so that when we die, we can say, thank you, Father, for the knowledge of Christ our Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your Holy Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.